Welcome to Brushstrokes of Being podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and have conversations with people in the arts. I am Karin Merix, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, cultural philosopher, teacher, and mentor. Welcome to Brushstrokes of Being. Today, I have a very special guest, someone I wanted to have on my podcast for a while now. So I'm honored to introduce you to Adebanji Alade. Adebanji is a very well-known artist in the UK. He appears on BBC TV programs like BBC One, is president of the Royal Institute of Oil Painters, and travels extensively to sketch, capturing everything he sees in his sketchbooks. He trained at Yaba College of Technology in Nigeria, later obtaining a diploma in portraiture from Heatherley School of Fine Arts in Chelsea, where he now teaches and so much more. Welcome, Adebanji. I'm so honored to have you on my podcast.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me on this. It's a privilege.
Well, you're very welcome. So let me start with a quote. Observe everything. Sketch everything you see. Do you know who said this?
I have no clue.
Oh, come on. No, it's not you. It was Leonardo da Vinci.
Wow.
Yes. And he is one of my favorites too. But I watched your episode where you went into this sacred place. I had like, I'm officially jealous.
Yeah, I think that was at Windsor Castle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this relates so much to you. And he also says that sketching is his way of thinking. Is sketching for you also a way of thinking, a way of seeing the world?
Definitely. Definitely. With sketching, I think the whole, because I'm a visual learner anyway, ever since I've been a child, that's the way, like the teacher could be teaching and everyone could be taking crazy notes, but I would have a way of abbreviating everything into words and pictures. So I developed this habit of using both sides of my brain, both the left and right side. So, yeah, so it's sketching then is this additional thing where it helps me process my thoughts. If I want to understand something better, I have to put some imagery to it. And that's where sketching plays a big role.
It's so logical because we emphasized on the left hemisphere mostly in our society.
Exactly.
But as artists, we are very much right hemisphere oriented. Yeah. And it's the master.
Yeah.
If you read the books of Ian McGilchrist, you probably know them. And so you are very well known as the addictive sketcher. You can see it in your beautiful shirt. Is that a title you gave yourself, or is that someone who saw you always and said, oh man, he's addictive to sketching?
So I have to say, I think I gave it to myself, but the person who brought it into life was a guy called Masood. Masood used to work with my framer in London, and while working with my framer in London, he was also doing a master's program on video and film, that sort of thing. And because he liked the kind of works I brought in to be framed with the framer, he used to be a framer's assistant, he said I'm also an MA student, and that can he do his final piece on me? While he was doing the interview with me, he titled the film "The Addictive Sketcher," and that is still on YouTube. It's about I think it's close to 20 minutes long. And, you know, he really brought it to life, because while interviewing me, he noticed that I kept on saying it. And so that's where the biggest spin came on that name. Yeah. Addictive Sketcher. I've been saying it, but it wasn't really strong. It came from that very piece he did on me. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a light bulb going off. Oh,
definitely, wait, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I have your book here.
Oh, that's my sketchbook, yeah.
Your sketchbook, I love it. Because,
thank you.
You know, there's so much that we think it's drawing, but it's sketching and it's different.
Yes.
That's a completely different thing, and you see a lot. Because I'm in your Addictive Sketcher group membership.
Yes.
And I had to learn to work with a pencil. I hated pencil. For me, a pencil came with a ruler, and I don't rulers.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm a painter. So you learn how to paint with a pencil.
Brilliant.
And
thing you said right there is powerful. That's because that's what I love in using the pencil. I like to paint with it, use it, brush strokes, broad strokes, that
broad
sort of
strokes.
Thing.
Exactly.
Yes.
That was the first time I heard broad spread. Broad strokes? What the heck is he talking about? Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I'm starting to get addictive.
Brilliant.
Yeah. That's your mistake, your fault. I blame that on you. But let's go to the next one, because I know you don't have that much time.
Yes.
So I watched this short piece where you interviewed one of my favorites too on the BBC, where you meet Charlie McAsee.
Yes,
who
made this
brilliant
fan of mine.
Book.
I'm a big fan of his.
Oh yeah, me too.
All right.
I have his book, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse.
Yes.
Yeah. With which of the characters do you identify most?
I'm the boy. I'm the curious, fun-loving, adventurous person. That's me. Yeah.
Yeah. I have the same, but then in a girl fashion. Always curious, always looking, always finding out. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, that's me. I live in the world of serendipity, where I just believe as I'm going and discovering, I'm going to find something, and I feel it was supposed to happen. So I like going to places. Sometimes I have no plan, and I just feel, okay, if I go into this place, something I might discover, that sort of thing. So that's how I run my life. Yeah.
Yeah. And in that respect, when you are outside, you probably, that's what I have, also start walking slowly because you see so much.
Definitely. Yes. That's me. I have when I'm with my wife, and she knows that she can't understand why things that are, she's just looking, what is in that tree now that we have to stop and look at it? And then I'm like, I've seen 1,000 things, color schemes, textures, all these twists. And so, yeah, it's the strange part of us. Yeah,
it is. But it is also the importance of seeing and observing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And do you think that's also important for people like your wife and your children and the rest of the world? If they do this, they start to broaden their perspective.
Yeah.
And perception, maybe.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we live in a world today where, I mean, if you're going to the city of London, I mean, 60% of the people are glued on some sort of tablet or phone. They lose the beauty of the moment. And it's just the way life is nowadays. So I think it would do us a great good if we actually slow down and just appreciated what's around us than always what's off a screen. I think it's healthy. It's good for our brain. It's just there's so many advantages. And so I'm a big fan of, people who slow down to see and appreciate what is around them.
Exactly. Because I think we miss a lot. Well,
we do.
I don't. Because people say, how in the world did you see that?
Yeah.
I can see a little lizard crossing my path,
there
and
you
I
go.
Save it before it gets crushed.
There you go.
How did you see that? Well, I'm always looking around.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, sketching, being in a city, city life, it's vibrant, it's quick, it's in. And there are a lot of things that work out and a lot of things that do not work out. What are your thoughts about failing? And how do we need to position that?
Failing, I don't really call it failing. I call it feedback. Because whenever you do something and maybe you don't do it as well as you thought, then that thing is trying to tell you something. It's trying to educate you. It's trying to inform you. It's trying to give you some feedback. So I rephrase the word failure, feedback. It's just, it's telling you there is something more. There is something, there's a next level that you need to attain to. And once you see failure that way, in whatsoever, it's not why did this happen? It's what do you want me to learn from what has happened? That's the way I see failure, because if you don't see it that way, then there's no way you're going to be able to carve a way for what I call the pathway to improvement. And we all, as human beings, there's one thing in common with all human beings. No one wants to be stagnant. We are a progressive species. And so it doesn't matter whether you are at one point in your life. People do not want to remain in that point, at least even if it's the little baby steps. And that's how we grew, as from babies to tweenage, to teenage, to adulthood. We progress, and that affects all our life. So it's just that when we were babies, we did not believe the word existed. It was put on us. Because if we believed that word existed, people would probably not be walking by now. Do you see what I mean?
So yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing. It was put on us that, what if that word wasn't in the dictionary? How do you think life would have been? It's a big one to think about.
It's very important. And it's also, I think, very important for people who start with a pencil and a paper and start sketching what they see. And don't fall into the trap of the illusion of speed and try all the hacks like, okay, let's trace, let's cheat, let's trace it and then put in the values. Learn, grow.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So, well, then talk to me about having a friendship with rejections.
Yeah, so it's the other thing. You've got to have. So in the art world that I belong to, people, artists in the kind of domain where I operate, we submit works into competitions, into open exhibitions. It gives you exposure. And once in a while, I would say, as an artist, you get a shocker. Your work suddenly gets rejected. You get a no. You don't get into what you thought you could get in. And, you know, now you cannot. Someone says you have to be in it to win it. So there is no way you can. It's another progress. That's another progress thing, right? So if you're not doing stuff, if you're not attempting stuff, if you are not trying, then there will be no rejection. The fact that you are actually trying is like the guy who goes for auditions, who wants to act in a certain film or drama. If the person has this mindset that because of the rejections, I am not going anymore to put myself forward, then that person has automatically ruled themselves out of progressing in that particular career. And that's how I see the arts. It's like, you've got to make it your friend. You're going to like, come on, baby. I've got one more. I need another one. Do you see what I mean? That is the way you break the barrier. And that's the way that you get that breakthrough, because there's no other way. So you got to just keep on. So you make a friend of it, and then it doesn't have that. I wouldn't say I'm immune to the negative effects that it has, but I give myself a time limit. Okay, let's mourn for a day. Oh, let's have all the blues, everything. But after that, what's the time limit? Check, over, move on. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. So in a way, it's also, when you have rejection, and I had them. I did them for the Royal Society of Portrait Artists.
There you go.
And it is my most loved painting also. But, phew, yeah. So yeah. I had, I know now why. But it is, if you feel that, you have the sense of avoiding the discomfort.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is, it takes courage to think like, okay, this was not right for my feelings.
Mm.
I'm disappointed, and now I move on, and the next time I do it again.
Definitely.
And again, and again, and again.
Definitely. Yeah. That's the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So what matters most to you? What you paint? How you paint it? Or why? Or maybe I should say, what you sketch, how you sketch it, or why you sketch it?
Okay, so what matters most to me is the process. I am obsessed with how things are done. I think that's, there's a joy in the whole thing. Now, for me, the whole point of just hearing that pencil, just the little noise it's making, scratching that paper. I'm obsessed with the process of things, and that's why I love teaching, because I'm like, I can now share what I'm thinking when I do it out loud. And I think that's one of the things that the BBC loved, in fact, that I could paint and talk at the same time, because they didn't find many people who could do that and do it like fluently.
Yes.
So
yeah.
What I'm trying to say here is I love how things are done, and I want to walk people through that process. And that's what I feel mostly catches my attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is the process. And nowadays we live so much in a world where, especially on social media, people want to show off.
Yeah.
So I can't paint that quick. Because it's a slow process.
It is a slow process.
You are more thick, quick. Your painting is also sketching in a way.
Yeah,
I am more the old master, layer over layer, and build it up. Get the depth and create and experiment with colors, etc.
Yeah.
But I can't do that every day, and I don't want to show off. For me, the process too. Is the most important. You have to love the process.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
It gets boring, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, what piece of advice would you like to give people when approaching art?
Right. So, art is broad. So, it depends on where you want the advice to focus on. So, what area of art would you like me to focus on? Because art is so broad. So the
art in general is broad. So let me rephrase this. Do you believe that everyone who starts with some kind of type of putting a pen to paper or a brush to paper needs to learn how to sketch and see?
For representational art, yes.
Yeah.
So for anyone who loves to pursue this whole, I call it a planet. It's a whole planet of representational art, which means when the artwork is finished, people can identify it. You don't have to explain or over-explain. That's the kind of art I'm talking about. If you are into that kind of art, you've got to be sketching, because that's when you're able to communicate your ideas clearly and also accurately, so that people can understand it and they get it. So I would say this is the way I began and this is the way I'll continue. And I would love people to get that whole life stream flowing through them too. Sketch, 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 draw, draw, draw. It's the lifeblood of any creative who wants to do this on a representational level. Remember, I didn't talk about the abstract because
that's not tangible.
Anyone can go out with some ideas and discover things, but I'm talking about the tangible, something represented, something you could see, something figurative. Yes, definitely, you've got to be sketching every day.
Yeah, and that's not taught on art schools. I wasn't taught. I did life models. I did plaster heads, but not sketching.
Whoa.
In that sense. No, whoa, they don't teach that.
Whoa, well, I'm happy I'm teaching it.
Yeah. I think, Oh, you're teaching at the art school and you're teaching it.
Yes.
But I think it should be here for everyone. And they have to bring that back on academies. Like,
I
really
know.
Sketching.
I know.
Yeah. And make the difference between making a full-blown drawing.
I mean,
if you do a plaster head and you do that with charcoal, you observe and you do, and that's perfect because you learn to see and observe.
Exactly.
Sketching is what you do, is what Leonardo da Vinci did, is what Elisabetta Serrani did.
Yes.
And she had such a memory that she could see someone capture it in her mind and come home and sketch it. I mean, that is another level.
I know. That is another level, yeah.
But, yeah. Thank you so much. Where can people find you? And are they already able to get into your addictive sketcher?
Yes, so anybody that wants to find me on Instagram, it is all one word, @addictivesketcher. On Facebook, it's Facebook.com/addictivesketcher. Those are the places you can see the most current things I'm working on. And if you really want to go into a little bit in depth into my whole career, then you can go to adebanjialade.co.uk, and that is my website. I also have a blog which I haven't used for so long, but if you want to go back to see all the things I used to work on in the past, it's adebanjialade.blogspot.com, and that one is a blog that I've had, I think, since 2000, and I would say maybe six or so. So it's called My Art, My Passion for Sketching. But for now, Addictive Sketcher on Instagram, Addictive Sketcher on TikTok, and Addictive Sketcher on Facebook. You can see my current stuff and the things I'm working on. That's where you can find me.
Amazing. Amazing. And I really encourage people to come because it's so incredibly inspiring. And it saved me. And it's a new challenge. And we need to challenge
exactly,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Even when you're a full-blown artist, you still have to challenge yourself.
Yes.
And do something completely different.
Yeah.
Now, for me, that will never be abstract. I just don't understand the language. But that will, but that will be observational. And I'm very happy that I entered the Addictive Sketcher group. So, thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me on.
You're very welcome.
All right. Bye.
I wish you a very peaceful and productive week. And remember, art is the cradle of your soul. Take care.